Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Living Well in a Down Economy for Dummies, Second Edition, by the experts at Dummies. Narrated by Rick Adamson. Publisher's Note. In this audio edition, you will hear references to tables and worksheets present in the print and ebook formats of the book. Limit of Liability Disclaimer of Warranty. While the publisher and authors have used their best efforts in preparing this work, they make no representations or warranties with respect to the accuracy or completeness of the contents of this work, and specifically disclaim all warranties, including without limitation any implied warranties of merchantability or fitness for a particular purpose. No warranty may be created or extended by sales representatives, written sales materials, or promotional statements for this work. The fact that an organization, website, or product is referred to in this work as a citation and/or potential source of further information does not mean that the publisher and authors endorse the information or services the organization, website, or product may provide or recommendations it may make. This work is sold with the understanding that the publisher is not engaged in rendering professional services. The advice and strategies contained herein may not be suitable for your situation. You should consult with a specialist where appropriate. Further, readers should be aware that websites listed in this work may have changed or disappeared between when this work was written and when it is read. Neither the publisher nor authors shall be liable for any loss of profit or any other commercial damages, including but not limited to special, incidental, consequential, or other damages. Introduction. Ask an economist what a recession is, and you'll likely get the answer, a decline in gross domestic product lasting two or more consecutive quarters. Gross domestic product, or GDP, is the total value of goods and services produced in a country. At the time of this writing, the United States isn't officially in a recession, but the economy is definitely in a downturn. This isn't good news. Fortunately, you can do more than cross your fingers and hope for good luck. During a downturn, you have the following main objectives. Prepare yourself in case you lose your job. Companies are always looking for ways to save money. Unfortunately, payroll reduction, read layoffs and firings, is a way to save. Fortunately, by preparing a resume and seeing this as an opportunity to explore alternative careers and ways to work, you can be proactive in protecting yourself in case you find yourself on the job market. Take control of your finances. Figure out what you have and what you spend, and then make deliberate decisions about ways to rein in your spending. Your goal should be to live within your means, if you're not already, to preserve your long-term financial goals, and to save enough to see you through a period of unemployment in case you lose your job. Continue to live and enjoy your life while maintaining control of your finances. The key isn't just to scale back, but to do so in a way that you don't feel deprived. You can save a lot just by being a savvier consumer and by spending your money a little differently. Have a plan to follow if the worst happens. In uncertain times, you may find yourself, despite your best efforts, facing a financial catastrophe like a bankruptcy or foreclosure. Even in these circumstances, you still have options, maybe not many and maybe not pleasant ones, but options that can help you weather even these storms. Bottom line, in a stumbling economy, you have to tread carefully, but you can still move around. This book helps you one step at a time. About this book. Living Well in a Down Economy for Dummies, Second Edition, contains 175 tips and suggestions to help you through tough economic times. How can you scale back on celebrations without sacrificing the fun? How can you continue to save for retirement when you need all your income to make ends meet now? What do you do when college loans or tuition come due and money is tight? How can you save money on household expenses? This book answers these and other questions for people looking to save money without sacrificing quality of life. Each part of this book is divided into tips containing information relevant to that part's theme. The great thing about this book is that you decide where to start and what to read. It's a reference you can jump into and out of at will. Glance at a variety of tips or go to the table of contents to find the different categories of tips. Foolish assumptions. In writing this book, we made some assumptions about you. You feel uneasy about the economy and want to get yourself and your family in a better financial position. You worry about losing your job, or you've already lost your job, and you need advice on finding work and cutting your expenses. You want to know how you can continue to plan for long-term financial goals, like retirement and college savings, when money's tight. You want to be a savvier, more thoughtful consumer so you can continue to enjoy life's pleasures without spending too much. Icons used in this book. Many people, when facing stressful times, become very focused. In addition to myriad tips, this book verbalizes the following icons to highlight information. Remember, this icon notes especially important information, stuff that you absolutely need to know to make informed, wise decisions. Tip: this icon highlights especially clever advice about living well when the economy is in a downturn. Warning: when times are tough and money is tight, mistakes are especially dangerous. This icon warns you about things that may have serious negative consequences. Beyond the book. In addition to the material in the print or e-book you're reading right now, this product comes with some Access Anywhere goodies on the web. To get this free cheat sheet, simply go to dummies.com and search for Living Well in a Down Economy for Dummies Cheat Sheet in the search box. Where to go from here? Whether you read this book from front to back or jump in and out as the need arises, you're certain to find a variety of ways to cut your expenses and stabilize your finances. Look at the table of contents to find general categories of tips, search the index to find specific tips, or just flip through until something catches your eye. Part 1. Facing off against a recession. In this part, take hold of your own finances and your attitude, even amid rising costs, falling income, uncertain employment, and no real idea how long the downturn will last. Harbingers like these can make anyone feel that economic stability is slipping beyond his grasp, but you can control how you respond. Try out some useful relaxation tips, because everyone deserves a break during stressful times. Tip number 1. Determining your net worth. Your net worth statement is simply a listing of all that you own and all that you owe. The difference between the two is your net worth. Your net worth is like a financial report card and reveals a lot about you. One glance at a net worth statement, and you have a pretty good idea whether a person has made a lot of financial mistakes, has had terrible misfortune, has been a fantastic money manager, or has been just darn lucky. Tip: figure out your net worth now using the following table and update it each and every year shortly after year end, because that's when you receive the previous year's year-end statements on your mortgage, retirement accounts, pension, investments, bank accounts, and a slew of tax-related documents. That's an excellent time to update your net worth statement. Remember, don't beat yourself up over your current financial situation. It does no good. In fact, it's actually very harmful. You may not like what you see on your net worth statement, but consider this step the beginning of your quest for financial freedom. The only things that matter are the decisions you make in the present and the future. You can't change the past, but you can learn from your successes and failures. Focus on what you can gain from the table shown in the print and ebook formats of this book, and then use that knowledge to help stay on track going forward. Tip number 2. Calculating spendable income. So, you make $20,000, $40,000, or even $120,000 per year. Don't be lured into the common misunderstanding that you have $20,000, $40,000, or $120,000 per year to spend any way that you want. After you pay income, Social Security, and Medicare taxes on your gross earnings, your earnings likely decrease by a third or more. Then you need to account for the costs related to earning those wages, such as commuting, dry cleaning, and child care, just to name a few. You may also eat out more often and take a vacation periodically, or treat yourself to regular massage therapy to decompress from the stresses of your job. These are job-related costs, even if they're not deductible as such on your tax return. You wouldn't have these expenses if you didn't have the job. What you have left after you take out all your must-pays, like taxes, is your net income, or spendable income. To figure out your net income, gather the last month's worth of paycheck stubs and complete the table with information you take directly from your paycheck stubs. Remember, some deductions occur monthly rather than per pay period, so 2 to 4 consecutive paychecks should reveal all deductions. For example, if you receive 2 paychecks per month, but your medical insurance deduction is only taken out of the first paycheck of each month, divide this amount by 2 when completing the worksheet. Tip: the next time you consider making a purchase and you tell yourself, it's only $20, calculate how long you'd have to work to net $20. For example, netting $20 takes nearly 3 hours of work for some people. Stop and ask yourself whether the purchase is worth 3 hours of your work life and energy. Tip number 3. Calculating required expenses. Your required expenses, or needs, must come first. To figure out what your required expenses are, fill out the table by entering the total amount you're personally responsible for, or the total for the household, whichever is easier. Sorry, your needs don't include cell phones, cable or satellite TV, streaming TV services, or high-speed internet, unless they're required for employment. These aren't necessary to sustain life, and therefore you must classify them as wants. So, where do you go after figuring out what you're spending on needs? If you have a surplus after meeting your required living expenses, check out Tip 4, which covers using your excess money for wants. However, if your income comes up short, negative or close, after figuring out your needs, check out the nearby sidebar. Tip: if you don't already do so, set up automatic monthly withdrawals from your paycheck or your checking account to pay for or fund each of the required expenditures from the preceding table. Just make sure you keep track if the values fluctuate. That way, you meet your requirements automatically each and every month, and whatever's left over is yours to spend on your most important wants. Tip number 4. Calculating discretionary spending. Hopefully, you find yourself with some extra money after determining and paying for your needs, see Tip 3, Calculating Required Expenses, and you can begin to use some of that money for the items or services you want most. Use the next table to list your desired expenditures and to figure out how much you can justify spending on them. Remember, when determining what to do with your surplus, just remember not to exceed that amount when prioritizing your wants. Remember, after you add all your needs from tip number 3 together with your wants from the preceding table, you'll likely discover that you have little or no surplus cash flow. If you have negative cash flow, you should revisit the preceding table and prioritize and/or reduce your expenditures so that you don't plan to spend more than you bring in. Tip number 5. Tracking expenses. Tracking your cash flow is especially useful when your outflow exceeds your income. Fortunately, you don't need to go back and tally up months' worth of checking account register entries, credit and debit card statement amounts, and cash withdrawals. This is a very time-consuming and painful exercise, and it doesn't yield the desired results. What has happened in the past is behind you. All you can and should focus on is the present and the future. Tip: monitor your spending for the next couple of months. The hassle of tracking all expenditures is a deterrent to spending money unnecessarily. This activity helps raise your consciousness about each expenditure, which helps your budgeting immensely. The Weight Watchers organization has a very effective mantra: if you bite it, you write it. The same concept applies to expenses, and it works. If you're looking for a simpler method of tracking your expenses, carry a pocket notebook to track every cent of your surplus money, or use the Notes app or an app devoted to tracking expenses on your smartphone. Record every occasion you spend your surplus money, whether you purchase a drink at work, buy gasoline on the way home, or go to the movies. Account for every cent. Also, track whether you paid by cash, check, or debit or credit card, who you paid, and whether the expenditure falls into the need or want category. Use one log for each pay period or month, whichever works best for you. Note at the top of the worksheet, or in the note, how much your beginning surplus is and subtract each expenditure from that amount. Remember, by keeping your eye on the magic number, your surplus cash flow after meeting your required expenses, you can simply spend your money any way that best meets your priorities, your wants, so long as you don't exceed the magic number. No more detailed budget keeping is required. Tip number 6: setting spending practices. Sometime throughout your life, you may have had someone encourage you to dream big or reach for the stars. But have you ever taken the time to really examine what your visions or dreams are and how you can actually turn your aspirations into reality? Well, now's your chance to do more than just daydream about that island vacation, about starting your own business, or about funding your child's college education. The time has come to turn your dreams into realities. This section is designed to help you convert the dreams that matter most to you into measurable goals. After you can measure your goals, you can manage them, take action, and achieve them. Remember, financial planning involves channeling your resources, all of them, to best accomplish what matters most in your life. You need to consider not only your financial assets and liabilities, but also your personal assets and liabilities, dreams, goals, and fears. Financial instruments, investments, insurance, retirement plans, savings, and so on, are just tools that you utilize along your financial journey through life. However, first things first, what matters most in your life? Delve into your dreams. No matter what you want to call it, brainstorming or brain dumping, it's time to dream big without holding back and to get those dreams written in stone. Paper or a note on your smartphone will have to do for now. Think of all the things you want to do and see and who you want to become. Then list the dreams that are most important to you at this time. Write down the following column headings: what, when, what's required, what are you willing to do, and revised priority. Then follow these steps. 1. In the what column, quickly list the first 30 goals that come to mind when responding to the question, what 30 things would you most like to do, see, accomplish, or experience in your life? Dig deep and list 30 goals, no more, no less. The first 5 or 10 may come to you easily. However, if you get stuck, consider all the possibilities, including what do you want to do? Activities, hobbies, interests, home improvements, assist aging parents. What or who do you want to see? travel, cultural events, family, friends. Who do you want to be? Personal or career development, community involvement, activism, philanthropy? What experiences do you want to have? Spend more quality time with family, vacation with spouse, continue your education, provide a legacy for your children or favorite cause. 2. Review your list of goals and rank them by their priority. Indicate in the left column how important achieving each item is to you by selecting from the following priority list. A equals must achieve, no choice or would cause regret. B equals would love to achieve, but will live if you don't. C equals would really be nice to achieve, but not at the cost of A or B goals. 3. Indicate in the when column approximately when you want to or when you must achieve each of your stated goals. Be as specific as possible. If an actual date or deadline is involved, use that date. If you have no deadline, provide yourself with as much guidance as possible. 4. In the what's required column, try to list the resources you need to accomplish the stated goal. Do you need time, energy, labor, money, or help? Be as specific as possible. Say, for example, that you want to remodel your kitchen this year. You may need to do some research and gather specific details regarding exactly what's involved in your remodeling project. Consider these questions. How much of the work can you complete yourself compared to how much of the work licensed professionals must perform? Do you have friends or family members who are willing, able, and available to assist you? And if so, will compensation be appropriate or necessary? How much time and energy do you anticipate needing to invest personally? How much will purchasing the materials and supplies cost? How much will the licensed professionals cost? Do you need to finance any or all of these costs? What are your options for paying for this project? 5. In the What Are You Willing to Do column, write what you're willing to do to achieve this goal. The achievement of goals often involves much more than just money. Some goals may be so important to you that you're willing to forego or postpone many of your other dreams to ensure that you achieve your most important goals. You must make the call. To help you determine how you plan to allocate your time, energy, and money to accomplish your goals, ask the following questions. What are you willing to sacrifice to achieve specific goals? Is achieving a certain goal so important that you're willing and able to earn more money if that's what's needed? Can you adjust the desired time frame for achieving this goal? Are you willing and able to sell something to raise the money needed to achieve the goal? Are you willing and able to do more of the work yourself to reduce your out-of-pocket costs? Are you willing and able to dedicate the time and energy necessary to achieve this goal? Do your spouse or partner and family support your efforts for the goals in which they're involved? 6. For now, leave the revised priority column blank. You can fill it in after going through the exercises in the next section. Tip: if you're in a relationship, have your spouse or partner complete the exercise too. They should complete the list separately. After step 5 is completed, compare your list with your partner's and then move on to step 6. It's amazing just how much you can discover about yourself and your significant other when you really dig deep into your life goals. Plus, you want to make sure that you're both fully aware of each other's priorities. It's unlikely that you'll come up with most of the same goals, and that's okay. You're an individual, and you may also be part of a couple. You have individual goals, and you also have goals you want to achieve with your partner. And your goals and priorities will be different frequently. There's nothing wrong with differences. The only thing that can go wrong is not exploring what matters most to you and sharing that with your partner. Determine which dreams matter most. So you may know what your dreams are, but do you know which ones are most important to you? How do you know which ones to focus on as you begin to shape your goals? See the next section for more on establishing goals. In this section, approach the same subject, your visions or dreams, from a markedly different perspective. Work through the following questions. If you haven't created your wish list, you may find it easier to do the exercise in the preceding section first. Be sure to invest thoughtful time and energy as you ponder the questions. If you really devote yourself to the task, you may begin to develop a realization and level of clarity about your dreams that you may not have had before. You may discover that some things no longer have the importance they once had, while other ambitions have now become most important in your life. Tip: you can also have your spouse or partner answer these questions on their own and then compare notes. What you discover may raise your level of commitment and motivation to achieve certain dreams tremendously, and you're more likely to pursue and achieve the dreams to which you're most committed. After you answer the preceding questions, go back to the exercise in the previous section and revisit the revised priority column with the three questions in mind. You may want to revise your priority ranking at this stage. Use the revised priority field to record any changes. Develop an action plan. After you figure out your wish list and prioritize what matters most, you can then create and structure an action plan for these dreams to become goals. And with that action plan, your goals can become realities. Each goal must be measurable and must be a top priority, something you have the desire and capacity to achieve. First, review your revised priority rankings in the exercise in the earlier section, delve into your dream, and list your top priorities in order of importance. Note each goal's what and when. Then sort your priorities by time period and action items involved. Don't worry if you don't know some of the hows at this time. The rest of this book can help you address those. Tip number 7. Creating a budget. Does the word budget send chills up your spine? It shouldn't. Budgets allow you to be organized and have some control over what you spend. They help you decide how to spend your money, plan for your future, pay off existing debt, and save a few pennies each month by reducing wasteful and impulsive purchases. Step 1. Categorize your expenses. When you begin setting up a monthly budget, start with big categories before breaking your budget down into smaller expense categories. A good list of basic budget categories to begin with includes the following: housing, mortgage or rent, repairs, property taxes, cleaning supplies, homeowners or renters insurance, utilities, furnishings, decor, food, groceries, meals out, food delivery, snacks and beverages at work, transportation, car payments, insurance, gas, oil changes, parking, repairs and maintenance, public transportation fees, medical, insurance, out-of-pocket expenses such as deductibles and non-insurance-covered medical services, pharmacy, eye care, dental, clothing, new purchases, dry cleaning, repair, personal, cosmetics, haircuts, cleansers, insurance, life insurance, and any other insurance not covered under home, transportation, or medical expenses, education, tuition, dues or fees, school pictures, yearbooks, school supplies, books, credit accounts, major credit cards, department store cards, lines of credit through your bank or other lender, any other outstanding debt, gifts, holidays, birthdays, graduations, weddings, showers, recreation, vacations, movies, books, magazines, TV, cable, satellite, and/or streaming services, restaurants, sporting events, sports equipment, savings, long-term and short-term goals, as well as retirement, taxes, property and excise tax, for example, donations, charities, religious groups, and so on. Remember, be sure to set a
sample complete. Ready to continue?